Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. We thank you for your word, Lord. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, if you look in the marginal rendering of your King James Version, it says, my words are medicine to all your flesh. So God's word is our medicine. Amen. Now in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, verse 9 through 10, he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know there's no sickness in heaven, so it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. 3 John 2, he says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So that's what God wishes for us above all things, for us to prosper and to be in health. 1 John 5, 14 says this, this is a confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Hebrews 12:12-13, he says, therefore strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees, make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be discredited, but rather healed. Romans 8:32, he who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him freely give us all things? James chapter 1, 13 through 17. Let no man say when tempted that God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us the birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of all he created. So he makes that very clear, that anything evil has absolutely nothing to do with God. Romans 8:31, what should we say in response to this? If God be for us, who could be against us? Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. So just like he said over in James, he's not changing like shifting shadows. He's not putting sickness on you to teach you a lesson, then taking it off. Let me give you some more scriptures. We're talking a little bit about the healing power of God today, and giving you the absolute, undeniable fact that God wants everybody to walk in health, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So you see, God gives us strength. He's the health of our countenance and the length of our days. Let me give you some more scriptures on it. You're taking notes, Deuteronomy 7:15. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. He will not inflict on you the horrible diseases you knew in Egypt, but he will inflict them on all who hate you. Now we know that requires obedience, full obedience. Exodus 15:26 says this. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's one of the names of God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17 says this, For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, says the Lord. Chapter 33, verse 6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Amen. You know, interesting fact about the Deuteronomy, what a legacy to leave behind. On the day that Moses died, he wrote the entire book of Deuteronomy. Still serving the Lord on the day that he died. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. That thou may love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days. He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers, Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Amen. Amen. Leviticus 26, verse 3 and verse 9. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, I will send rain. I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops, and the trees of the field their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and your grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. He gives them all sorts of promises here. He says this, in verse 9, the King James Version, he says, For I will have no respect unto you, I'll have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. You see, he'd make us fruitful. There's a lot of barren women. The one man of God, I just clicked on a teaching, and it opened up, and he said, the reason that a lot of women can't bear children is because they don't worship God. I said, Michelle, the reason that you're barren, you can't have children, is because you don't worship God. How long did you worship him? That same day? 3 weeks? 3 weeks, and she got pregnant. could not conceive for a whole... That day she got pregnant. Because she started to worship God. Amen. So a lot of barren women, I'm telling you, this is the key. If you just lift up your hands and lock yourself away with God, God will let you bear fruit. According to Leviticus 26, 3 and 9. Do you love the Word of God? Isaiah 58, 8. Then shall thy light break forth as a morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rear ward. Amen. Amen. Genesis 20, verse 17. See if anybody's faster than me. Says this, so Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. So that's a healing that took place. Because he prayed. Second Chronicles 30. Verse 20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Healed the people. Second Kings 20. Verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. If you look at verse 6, it says, I will add unto thee 15 years he added unto his life. Numbers 23. You say, well, I'm not sick, Pastor Dan. Well, we need to have faith and healing to heal other people. It's good to go over these scriptures and get this in you so you have a strong foundation of faith. So when the devil's over your shoulder saying when you pray for them they're not going to get healed, you can say, no, it is written. Verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So if God says he's going to do something, we can have grounds for faith that he's not going to lead us astray. I got you jumping all over the place here. Second Chronicles There's a reason they're in a certain order. We're building to something. 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepest covenant and shows mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. So God shows mercy unto those who are obedient. Chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. So God's just looking for someone with the heart of faith to bless, to heal, to set free. Psalm 145. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. You keep your finger there in Psalms, because we're going to be going back to it. Job 37. You know, the first time I opened my Bible to the book of Job, I called it the book of Job. Amen. Shows what I know. Now, he says here, Job 37:23, touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. He will not afflict. But God put this on me to teach me a lesson. He will not afflict. That's what God says about himself. We don't want to accuse God of things he will not do. And one thing he will not do is he will not afflict. God didn't. No, he didn't. He will not afflict. Amen. Got to stick with the scriptures. That's wise. Back to the book of Psalms. We got a bunch of them there now. We will keep you in one book for just a moment. Psalm 67. I feel the quickening life power of God. Psalm 67, verse 2. That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Psalm 105 now. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. That was 3 million people, 3 million Jews. Not one feeble person among their tribes. Now that's a healing revival right there. Psalm 103. Hallelujah, Jesus. What are we doing? I'm going to convince you that God is a healer. And if your mind ever tries to tell you otherwise, you just go back online and you listen to this teaching. And you're going to have to face the facts. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He's going to tell you what his benefits are. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Psalm 147, verse 3. Erase you there. I've got four Bibles to go through. You probably have one. Now, verse 3 says here, he healeth the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. So not only does he add life to our days, not only does he promise to not afflict, not only does he promise to heal in dozens and dozens of scriptures, but he also says he'll heal a broken heart. He gets into the soul realm, your emotional realms. Hallelujah. Psalm 23, 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So if you have need of physical healing, you don't have to live in want. You can just receive that from the Lord right now. Psalm 30, verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. It just can't get any clearer, can it? Psalm 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. I don't understand why this came on me. I don't understand. I'm doing everything just right. He says many are the afflictions of the righteous. So it doesn't necessarily mean you've done something wrong. It could be, and it could most likely just be a satanic attack. Anything, any kind of sickness. It says that how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed to the devil. So anybody that needs a healing is being oppressed by the devil, according to Acts 10:38. He also says in 1 John 3:8, he says, he who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil's been sinning from the beginning. For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So you see, the devil's the one that's trying to destroy people and oppress people and hold people in bondage, and it's God that sets them free. Psalm 41, verse 3. You know, I just love God's word. He says here, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. So God will strengthen us and set us free. You know that NIV says it like this, the Lord will sustain him on his sick bed. The bed of languishing is a sick bed. And restore him from his bed of illness, it says. 42 verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've seen it? Where people have come in the door and they look like living dead in their countenance. But by the time we're done preaching the Word of God to them and have them come through the prayer line, they look a lot younger. I see it in their face. God will change your countenance. I've seen that where people first get born again and they look just like the devil when they walk in the door. Remember? We've seen someone who came in here. I mean, she looked like she'd been whipped around the post and kicked and beat up. And I mean, and by the time she left with the most beautiful face and the beautiful smile you ever did see. God will change your countenance. Amen. He's the health of our countenance and our God. Amen. Matthew 7:11, he says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? Going over to Isaiah 53, this is a great redemptive chapter. And if there's not any study on Jesus' redemptive work, it's all right there on Isaiah 53. That's a chapter you need to read about 1,000 times. You need to know this. Because your whole salvation is based upon these scriptures here. You need to have faith for these things. Now he says here, Isaiah 53 verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now the marginal rendering of the King James Version says this: surely he has borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now someone to say, that's not what he's talking about. Go on over to Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, and we're going to see in the New Testament. The same scripture referenced here. And see how it translates in all your Bibles. And we'll end all argument by showing you a scripture. Let's start in verse 14. Matthew 8. And when Jesus was come to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Is that a healing? When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all the sick. Everyone say, all the sick. And healed all the sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And that is Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, right there. So if anybody ever tries to tell you, yeah, that's Old Testament, well, you just tell them the Hebrews 10, verse 1, and Hebrews 8, 6 says we established a better covenant with better promises. So we've got better promises from God to have a healing. Amen? 1 Peter 2:24, you should have that memorized. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. That means turn from a lifestyle of sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. Galatians 3:13-14 is another good memory scripture. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 29. If you be Christ, and you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we're redeemed from the curse of the law. Now if we break God's moral law, We could open up a door for a sickness, but you could quick repent and say, God, forgive me. And if He'll forgive you from the sins, He'll also heal you from the consequences of those sins. And say, well, I don't believe that. What did Jesus do? He went around healing everybody, didn't He? And they said to Him, when Jesus said, Son, your sins are forgiven, they thought within themselves, they said, who is this? Who is this? What is blasphemy? This is blasphemy. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and He said, which is easier to say, pick up your mat and go home, or your sins are forgiven? He said, but you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And it says the man got up, took his mat, in full view of them all, went home, praising God. So what Jesus is saying, look, I wouldn't even be able to heal the man unless atonement had been made for his sins. Because it's the sin that is the root of the consequences of the sin, which is the sickness. So in order to get set free from the sickness, we got to be able to be forgiven. Amen. You also notice that anybody that came to Jesus in faith, you notice He never asked him what kind of sins are involved in your life. He just prayed for them and healed them all. Because they were already coming to the one who made atonement or was going to make atonement for them and putting their faith in Him, and that was enough. You know, it says in Acts 3:16, He says, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know is made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through Him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. So the name of Jesus, if we put faith in that name, you say, I'm putting faith in the name, it's not working for me. Well, just hold on. Go over to the book of Colossians in your New Testament now. Just for a moment. Colossians chapter 1, it's right after Philippians, verse 12 through 14. Giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints in light. So we have an inheritance, and healing is part of that inheritance. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So we got a full inheritance. And the ransom, the price that was paid for us to be able to receive healing and forgiveness is through His blood. Peter said we're not been redeemed with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish and defect. Chapter 2, verse 10 says this, and you are complete in Him, which is ahead of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, at the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised Him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has He quickened together with Him. Quickened together with Him. Quickened together with Him. Having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them by the cross. So He quickened us. You know, it says in Romans 8:11, it says, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. He'll quicken your mortal body. So if we're quickened together with Him spiritually, we're quickened together with Him physically. As long as we're in this earth suit until we get our glorified body, God, through your faith, will sustain you and give you the life that you need to live a vigorous, healthy life, even up in old age. Like Joshua. He said, Joshua, right before he died, he said, I'm just as strong as I was 40 years ago. Strong and full of life. Amen. Let me give you another scripture. From Hebrews chapter 9, you can stay where you're at for now. Hebrews 9:12 says this. He did not enter by the means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? He said, I'm your healer and I'm here to heal you. Does anybody need healing in their physical body? Come on up right now. Any kind of healing whatsoever. He just wants to get his hands on you as quick as he can. Just expect to receive you. He said, those that believe will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Anything you need. If you've got weakness in your body, if you just feel tired all the time, lethargic, emotional healing. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He's a mighty healer. Any who's got a cold or anything like that, just come on up. Something, some lingering pain that's been lurking around. Now this goes along with the teaching. This is what he's going to say. He said this not to put your faith in your symptoms. He said many are looking for a miracle and miss their healing. For many are looking for instantaneous manifestations of my spirit, and what they're really looking for is not a healing but a miracle. And this is what he said. Now he's got a scripture. He said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given a prophet with all, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but all these work in the one and self same Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. And now this is what he's going to say about it. He says, I've set the gifts of healings in my body through my spirit with a purpose. Healings are progressive. Supernatural manifestations of my spirit. Miracles are instantaneous. And many miss out on their healing by coming up in a prayer line. And after their symptoms do not instantaneously dissipate or dissolve or disappear, they throw up their hands in their hearts and believe that they have not received from my hand. But the moment the prayer was prayed, the moment the hands are laid, the manifestation of my glory and my spirit came down from heaven. And if you will receive through faith and not focus on your symptoms, but keep your eyes on me, you will see that the manifestation will come to pass, says the Lord. You know, when you give a tongue, you can do it, revelation. He can give a word of instruction. It can be a prophecy. It comes in many forms. He just opens up the channel to the Spirit and he drops in there what he wants. Right there we had a prophecy. We had a revelation, a scripture, interpretation. It was all flowing through that one tongue. It all came through that right there. So God can do many things when you pray in tongues. He opens up that channel for you to to see and know things. So we want to know that He wants us to be healed. And whether the symptoms leave instantly or not, what He expects you to do is like the 10 lepers. You know, those lepers came and they called out at a distance to Jesus and said, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And He said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them came back praising God in a loud voice. Just one of them. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, "We're not all 10 cleansed. Where then are the other 9? He said, "Go thy way. Your faith has made thee whole." So the other ones were cleansed, but he was made whole because of his faith, because he came back and praised God. So after you get prayed for, he says, "Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, that he may pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. If he sinned, his sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and another one should bring him back, he said, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So he tells you to pray for the elders of the church. I mean, a pastor's in that category. That's like a teaching elder, you could consider it, I guess. Age has nothing to do with it. Just someone who's got the authority and the power. So when we pray for you, you can expect it. He promised that you're healed. But he didn't say it was going to be an instant miracle every time. Sometimes God does do that. We've seen it. We've seen some incredible things. So we want to keep our eyes on Him after we get prayed for. We want to recognize His working. Amen. So we'll stop there for today with the teaching anyhow. See what else he wants to do. He said, "You must recognize my working, and you must recognize my working by faith. For it is your faith that releases me to manifest my glory and to manifest my healings of grace, says the Lord." So stand firm in your faith by your confession and continually praise. Lift up your voice and continually praise and confess and release your faith until you see it manifest in the natural realms. For your symptoms can deceive. Your feelings can lead you astray. But my word stays the same and my words never change, says the Lord. My word is forever settled in heaven, and I have made the choice. The price has been paid. The ransom has been set, and the blood has been shed for you to receive this inheritance. So stand boldly before my throne of grace and expect the manifestation of that which you need to come to pass, says the Lord. But you must keep your eyes stayed on me, and that look from the left or to the right, but keep your eyes focused on me, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship and praise you, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. We praise you and exalt you, Lord. Obedience is a key to stay healthy. Like we said, he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord will deliver them from them all. Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble. It's not always a direct result of sin. Some of it is because it's a curse. You know, when the man was born blind, the disciples asked him, was it this man or his parents' sin that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God might be displayed in his life. He said, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. And then he went on and healed the man. So what he was saying there is not that the sickness was the works of God. He went on and showed with the works of God when he healed him. But he's saying, look, it's not a direct result of his parents' sin or his sins. It's because the first man, Adam, opened up the door for the law, sin and death, to be loose on the earth. And because that law is loose on the earth, it's affected all humanity to one level or another. And in this situation, it affected him to the point where he would have been born blind. He was just born under that curse. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, amen? So we need not bear anything that you wouldn't consider a blessing as a curse, right? You know, but we need to release our faith too. And like we said there in the exhortation, a lot of times people leave prayer lines, and because God's looking at their heart, He's watching them up there. He's going, yeah. That one doesn't think they received anything, so they're not going to. And another one's up here saying, I got it. And they, every time, healed. So when you in your heart, you still feel the symptoms and you're focusing, well, nothing happened. That's right. Nothing will ever happen because your attitude is against God's word. But if you say, I don't care what it feels like, God said that I'm healed when they laid hands, and you walk out, you just may find yourself halfway down the hall and have the symptoms gone. I've had that happen before. You know, one time I got such bad dry skin from going in and out of the cold of my hands. The skin on the top of my hands was so dry. And I tried putting lotion. Somebody says, put Vaseline on your hands and wrap them in a bag. I tried everything and nothing worked. And finally I got desperate. I said, God, my hands feel they're cracking and bleeding. I was very bad. It was severely cold weather out. And I was in and out, and I might have possibly worked the outside job at the time, and that helped nothing. So I finally said to God, I said, look at my hands. I said, there's nothing I can do. Nothing is working. I said, I believe that I'm healed in Jesus' name. And I went to bed. I didn't put nothing on my hands that night, nothing. And I woke up and it went nice, fresh, brand new skin on the top of my hands. I mean, like a baby's skin. Now that's either a real fast progressive healing or a miracle. I don't know, I was sleeping, but he did it nonetheless. Amen? Sometimes you got to have desperate faith. A lot of times people aren't desperate enough and they leave themselves with an option to not be healed. You cannot leave yourself with an option when it comes to God. Faith is aggressive. And if you leave yourself with no option, you need to praise God like it's life or death until the manifestation takes place. And when you start to do that, you will see, you know, if you start to get symptoms come and attack your body like a throat or sinuses or something, if you just say, oh, here it comes again or something like that, or you just let it come and go, and you're not, the first thing this pastor does, this is what I do. Father, I thank you that I'm healed, and I will walk, I'll instantly go in the back room and I'll just start praising him for 5 minutes. As soon as I feel a symptom, I thank you that I'm healed. I thank you that I'm healed. I praise you, Father. I thank you, Jesus, you bore my sicknesses. I've confessed every scripture of healing that I know over myself, and I get aggressive. Why? Because I know that if I don't seek his face with my whole heart, that those symptoms are going to attach to me. But if I fight it with my faith, it won't even get a hold. Next day you wake up, there are more symptoms there. Just start praising Him again. Praising Him again, then it goes away. And then it comes back again. But you know a way to keep it away from you? Just always keep praising Him for a few days that you're healed multiple times out of the day. You know, 50, 60, 70 times a day, just start praising Him. I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. I thank you that I'm healthy. Thank you that I'm healthy. I think that sickness will not cleave to me. Everybody else in your household sick. Everybody around you sick. You say, no, it's not going to cleave to me. He said, nope, Psalm 91, no plague will come near my dwelling. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'm healed. I praise you, Jesus. The law and the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law, sin, and death. Romans 8, 2. I don't have to have it. The law and the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law, sin, and death. We don't have to bear what Jesus already bore for us. Amen. Jesus already bore it. And we need not bear it. And this is what he just said in my spirit. He said, the time is coming as people reap the consequences of their sin, for sin is on their eyes. And as they reap the consequences of the sin, things will become more and more severe, and there will be no option. And people will come to the light. For I am the only one who can cure their disease, says the Lord. I am the Lord. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And my power is available for anyone who comes desperately in faith to me. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said, I will heal them, but they must come to me. For it's those who believe, who trust in me, who receive the benefits of my Spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So we need to get aggressive with our faith. Amen. So I encourage you to take that home with you. The Lord knows what we're going through. Amen.